It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's the opening that I'm going to give, because I don't care.
Okay.
So
I'm ready.
Really?
Yeah, go.
No, that was it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. No, that was the whole thing.
All right, well.
So. Did that take an hour?
No.
Shit. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world, because over in our universe, we don't have podcasts.
Nope.
I had to look up what this one was, and nobody knew, because it's a different universe.
Mm-hmm.
So
different.
Yeah. But I know now. Let me explain this to you. So here's how it works. They, not us, some other dudes, have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. It's weird that it would have a government email address like that. Over here, Google is the government. Anyway, any joke you have to explain is extra funny. People, I don't know who, some people, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Those losers, but when they can't be bothered, us losers, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole show. We do it for about an hour. And it should say, sorry, I'm Evil Tony.
And I'm Evil William.
And we don't know what episode number this is. Yeah. So, those guys fucked up, so now we're here.
Yeah, they call them, I guess they call them mystery episodes.
Because they can't figure out where they're from. Those guys are never smart.
No.
So. Man. Every time we do this, which what, this is like the 37th time.
Or something.
I just marvel at how shitty it is that we have. And I get confused that those other guys do it, like, on purpose?
Yeah, a lot more than we do.
Yeah, like, if that's what being good is like, I'm happy to be bad.
Like, something like for every one time we do it, they do it, happy, like...
That makes me angry. But I love being angry.
Yeah, well...
That really is, like, the ultimate joke, and we just couldn't fully appreciate it as children.
I guess.
Love that joke.
I guess.
But I love being angry, and that makes me happy.
Oh, Oscar the Grouch.
That's the thing. Now I just picture, the long pan shots on Sesame Street. Like, wouldn't just be his trash can. It'd be him sitting up in his trash can, just thinking, and then looking happy, and then thinking, and then looking pissed off, and then thinking, like, just constantly. Like, other scenes on the stoop, he's just there in the background just doing that all day. I would be watching Sesame Street still to this day if that's what was going on. So...
What do we do now?
And we pull the shit out of the hat.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about it until we're bored. Done! See?
We're already bored. Mm. Hey, does that mean we can stop right now?
That means we can draw another one.
Oh.
Yeah. The bored part only applies to the questions.
Okay.
So we're going to get through like 27 questions.
oh, there's nobody signed this. Mm, so
smart. I wouldn't want to be known as writing to this.
I
TheMagicalBeingHead@gmail.com.
know that I've heard this question before.
Oh my goodness.
Like we haven't even done this very many times. Anyway, you're to be marooned on an island.
Well, fuck you too.
Which three games do you take? Any platform?
I feel like we've had a
like movies, maybe it was
an island thing, but yeah, I don't know. Well, it doesn't matter because they didn't say we could bring consoles.
I presume that if we pick a console game, the game it says any platform.
When you presume, yeah, because it's not going to matter. When you presume, you make a pre out of me and Jim McGregor. Don't make us into a pre.
Okay. Games. Three games that you would take with you. I don't know.
They'd have to be... Well, okay. Length of the game and replay... I mean, replayability is the big...
Yeah, obviously.
Because usually with this marooned on an island thing, there's the presumption of not having a companion. So that eliminates most of the games that would be interesting through competition.
Or cooperation.
Games that, like... Well, okay. Fallout 4 is a given. It has to be one of the three.
Okay.
Because... You could just do any... Like, you could spend a lot of time...
I suppose.
And you could tear it all down and do it over again. Mm-hmm. You could do the game very differently. You could keep playing forever, but then you could start a new game and play a different character.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's just a lot of options
there. Probably you're right.
Well, I don't know, because then there's a problem of... Some games may be sort of duplicating the usefulness of other games. Because in my head, Minecraft jumps to mind. But I'm like, I feel like Minecraft and Fallout 4 might be overkill.
Well, any MMO would cover most of the things that would make...
I feel like MMO is definitely cheating, though. Because if that's an option, then I'm picking MMOs, of course, because then I can talk to other people.
Yeah.
That feels like cheating.
And it's open world, and it's going to change and update, so it'll probably go on forever.
I could probably even arrange for a rescue.
Probably.
You know? I could sell gold to pay off mercenaries to come in speedboats.
But MMO is cheating? Is that what you're going to say?
I feel like.
Okay.
Well, okay. I'll put it this way. If we can do MMOs, I'm going to probably pick three MMOs that look interesting.
Yep, that's what I would do, too.
So, and probably go for, like, the really popular ones, because then there's more people. So that's a given. So, okay, we've answered that question with that. Now let's change the stakes.
Which MMOs would you pick, though?
World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Guild Wars 2. And then I'd have to do a little research first.
I would pick the DC Superheroes one. I forget what it's called.
I've never even heard of it, so.
I would pick the Star Wars one. And...
Oh, yeah, that might be good.
And Elder Scrolls Online.
Really?
Yep. Definitely.
There's like six people in Elder Scrolls Online.
It's just... It would be my third choice.
Yeah, because when I'm picking there, I'm picking in terms of... How many resources I know are getting thrown at it, and how popular I know it is.
To a large degree. I suppose that's true.
That's why I picked both of those. And then, yeah, third one, Star Wars might be good.
But so you wouldn't care if you'd enjoy it at all?
I'm pretty sure I would enjoy it, especially if I'm stuck on an island with nothing to do but play an MMO. I would get way invested in that lore.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
I would read every piece of flavor text.
Just for lack of anything else to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so setting those aside, how do we do it? I'm sticking with Fallout 4.
I agree with that one. We're on the same page on that one.
It gets tough after that.
I mean, we're thinking generally of, like you said, replayability, so you know, we're thinking of open world games because
but you don't want to, like, I wouldn't want just three BioWare games or three Bethesda games.
Yeah.
Because they would feel too similar.
Yeah, right. But what other open world games really are there?
Well, there's the Grand Theft Auto ones, there's the Saints Row ones, there's the new Zelda one.
And then,
if you get into PC stuff, there's lots of open world ones.
You'd want one where you can create your character, because that'll eat up some time and variety.
Yeah. Or at least one where you can drastically play different kinds of characters.
Yeah, right.
This is way tougher than
So, like you said,
probably I'm thinking a later era Final Fantasy, but I can't pick. I'm not sure which one.
Okay. What about you were talking about how you have to presume that nobody is stranded there with you? What if you could have multiplayer games where AI is playing the other people and they're pretty good AI, so there's a reasonable challenge.
Then I might stick a fighting game in there. I might stick, like, maybe Injustice. Having not played it, I feel like that's probably a good one.
Yeah.
If not Injustice, then probably, like, one of the later Mortal Kombats.
Mm.
I want something that has a lot to it.
But you wouldn't pick something like, you know, chess or poker or something like that.
I don't believe so. And I wouldn't pick a cooperative game. Because they're not very good. People don't spend a lot of time on them, I think. So even, like, my favorite co-op games are nowhere near the list of my favorite games.
Yeah.
They're fun, and they're frequently fun to play because I can play with somebody else, and often it's because of who I'm playing with.
Right.
But also, they don't have a lot of replayability. Like, I think we almost played Champions of Norrath through twice, but that was it. Like, no other one have we played. Some of them, we didn't even finish Diablo 3.
Mm.
Like, although, actually, Diablo 3. Well, again, if you could have an internet connection so you could play with other people, Diablo 3 would be a good one. I don't know. This is a terrible question. I hate you.
Okay. Try another one.
Well, I just ran out of stuff, haven't you? The question is, did I say I hate the questioner, or that I hate you, William? And the answer is yes.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know the answer.
Here's one from Coffee.
Oh, Coffee.
You know, I'm not going to specify the ethnicity of Coffee here, but if she was black, she'd be Black Coffee.
I guess so. Yep.
And if she was a liqueur, she'd be coffee. That's not as good.
Mm.
Not that. Yeah. Okay. Hate this fucking podcast. What goals do you have for yourself that you have yet to pursue? What stands in the way of your acting upon these goals? Mostly drug enforcement laws. No, kidding.
Well, you know, I had that long-standing goal to figure out ways to be more evil.
Yeah.
And then I kind of gave up on it because it just seemed too hard.
Remember that list? It just had take pennies and then, like, nothing.
Yeah.
A couple of doodles you drew.
Well, there was the deal where I was going to throw them at children, remember?
Oh, right, we were going to huck them at kids.
We were going to throw them at children and then make the kid pick it up.
And give it back. Yeah, why did that never take off? Well, I still feel like that's a brilliant idea.
It just seemed like too much work.
What obstacles, anyway?
I mean, I'm not generally a lazy person. Yeah. As soon as the moment came and there was a kid, it was like, but I have to interact with the kid. I mean,
that's,
you know,
the thing, yeah.
It might be evil interaction, but it seems like I'm doing more work than the kid's doing, even if they pick up the penny and give it back to me. So it just wasn't satisfying. I suppose it's just, in the end, it was a goal, but it, sometimes the goals aren't good, right? Like,
but that's the thing.
Sometimes when you don't achieve a goal, it's not because there was anything wrong with you. It was the goal itself just wasn't an adequate goal or a satisfactory goal. And I think that was the case here.
Honestly, in recent years, I'm not a very big goal person. I'm more in favor of behaviors and perspectives. To be like, you know what? I should do this. I need to behave like this. I need to start doing this more. But I don't like the goal, like I'm going to do this for a week or whatever. And I think part of it is a lot of those things are self-improvement. You know, I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to eat better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get more work done, you know, whatever. But they're more lifestyle changes. They shouldn't be goals. Because it's like, okay, I'm going to go exercise for 3 weeks every day. I'm never going to miss a day. Great. And so then you give yourself permission
to stop.
Just fuck it after that. Yeah, who cares? Yeah. I'm going to stick to this diet till I lose 20 pounds. And then I did it. And now I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want. And gain 30 pounds. Yeah. Also, I'm lazy, so goals are a terrible thing for me. Are there ones that I'm not doing? I mean, there's ones that I'm trying and not doing so great on. Writing the book, going to the gym, eating better, keeping the house clean, things like that. But, I mean, I don't... There's not an end point. So I still feel like I'm working that way.
Right, right, right.
And usually my biggest obstacle is just laziness. Or some sort of rationalization. You know, I worked too hard today. I've been sick. It's too nice a day to stay inside doing that. You know, that kind of stuff. But it's just inertia, you know. It's like I could spend these hours sitting on the couch watching a movie, or I could run around cleaning the house. Let's see what's on.
Well, I don't know if I really think in terms of goals. It's more of a, I have a project I want to complete. Okay. And I guess I have standards for what completing that will mean. So I suppose that's a goal.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of do it.
Okay.
So I might not.
Such time as you fail to do, like any goals that you have right now, are there any that, like, you were going to do and then you just kind of stopped working on them?
Well, for a long time, I don't think I've done it this year. Every year, I had a list of things that I made that I would like to attend to or complete within the following year.
Okay.
But it wasn't that the purpose of the list was, like, on a day-to-day basis, if something I was working on wasn't urgent or I otherwise didn't feel like working on that, I would just work on the next thing down the list.
Okay.
So let's say that the first thing on the list was something that I was completely happy working on basically every single day of that year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a failure that I didn't work on any the other things. They were like backup things for me to do something while the other thing wasn't inspiring me or whatever.
Okay.
So there are a lot of things on
that. And in that case, the obstacle to completing that goal was I was busy completing a more important goal,
right.
Which I'm like, okay,
fair enough. So I've had this list, like there's some things on this list that I haven't really attended to for like 10 years, but they're still on the list. And some things I've taken off the list because I've realized I never really wanted to do that thing.
Yeah.
When I put it on the list, I must have thought it was important.
Zero gravity English muffin.
Sure, but I always do something and a lot of times check it off. Like, you know,
I want to stop you for a second. I just want people to understand this is not a muffin that is unimpacted by gravity. This is an English muffin that is designed in a specific way to be consumed in zero gravity, as you explained it to me originally.
That's right.
But, all right,
go ahead. For example, you know, like the third novel I wrote, it was on that list for like, you know, the 3 or 4 years it took me to complete the novel. But then I did, so then it got taken off the list. So, you know, that's kind of how it works. I mean, I don't know, I don't...
Now I'm picturing a list that all three of those books were on it at the same time. So, like, the top one was like, write my first novel, write my second novel. Well, I haven't gotten to the third novel, why not? Because I'm still writing the second novel. Okay.
It actually took me several, longer to write the third one than the first, but that was mostly because I did also work on other things. Like, there were times where I got stuck on that novel, so I said, all right, I'm going to do the second or third thing on the list. Probably the one thing I can point to that I had goals to do and that they just didn't happen, that maybe I'll get back to and do someday, is I thought I would make, you know, I made like 3 films there in the span of like 3 years, yeah. Short films. And I had some ideas for other ones, and because when the place we worked at closed down, I kind of lost my crew. Mm. So it was hard to do any other projects.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that kind of had to, but I replaced them with other projects still. So again, maybe I didn't do those things, but I don't consider those as goals I didn't achieve, because I just replaced them with goals I could achieve, and I achieved those instead. So I don't
know. Let me twist this around a little bit. So, are there things in your life that you have not done or are not doing that you would like to be doing? I don't mean specific projects, just anything. You know, donating more time to charity, or spending more time communing with nature, or learning how to build an ark. Not necessarily building one, just learning how.
Well, I mean, if the things I worked on made more money, I would definitely be able to do things like give more money to charity, for example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I probably would do.
Yeah. All right. So, in theory, there is a goal, however low or high priority, to earn more money, because then you could be doing more of these things. And it is not being met because, in order to do it, you believe you would have to start doing other things as opposed to the things you're currently doing, and you consider those a higher priority.
Yeah, well,
if you wanted to make more money, you could be doing
yes
it.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
So, and if I came to you tomorrow and said, hey, want to make more money, you don't have to change anything, you can just make more money, you would probably be like, sure. I mean, assuming you didn't think I was trying to mule drugs through you or something.
Okay, I guess. Yes. Sure.
So one could say, well, I'm making more money, but it's not. And well, and this becomes the thing then. So then, theoretically, anything that, if you could just have it, you would, is theoretically a goal, just a fairly low priority one,
I suppose.
Or you could define a goal as anything that you want that you are working toward. And in that case, then it becomes weird here, because it says you have yet to pursue.
Well, I mean, I kind of think the question means like, well, I always wanted to do this. Like, I always wanted to write a novel, but I never did it. But, I mean, just about everything I've always wanted to do, I ended up doing. Or, I mean, there are some things that in my life that have never happened, but it's not because I didn't pursue the thing. It's because I pursued it and failed, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think
there's an issue of privilege here. There are definitely people who want to do stuff and can't because they're busy surviving.
Yeah, right.
They're busy paying the mortgage. They're busy raising their kids.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
You and I are not in that situation.
No, we're not.
Unless we had dreams of being a famous solid gold race car driver. we could be doing what we want to do.
Well, like, for example, I had a goal to get a PhD when I was, you know, a kid, when I was graduated high school. I did pursue that. It didn't happen. There were probably other ways I could have pursued it. that I decided I didn't want to pursue
it. Yeah, and it is not currently a goal of yours.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And so in that end, I think almost by definition, we don't, you and I don't have goals that we have yet to pursue.
Right, that's what I think.
Now, that being said, I think a while back I did. It's hard to say, though, because the big one for me is I wanted to write.
Mm-hmm.
But, as an ex-girlfriend's mom, the very first time I met her, cruelly but sadly accurately, said to me, I think if you really wanted to be a writer, you'd be writing. Because you would feel compelled to. And I spent many years now. I did used to write when I was younger. I wrote in college and stuff like that. And I don't mean term papers. I mean, I actually wrote.
Mm-hmm.
But I did stop for easily a decade and a half.
Hmm.
But I don't think it was this gets weird. Like, I don't think I was sitting around saying, God, I wish I would do that. No, I think at that point I was like, clearly I'm not going to do that, so whatever. So then it wasn't a goal anymore. But yeah, just in general, if there's something... Yeah, I think I'm just stuck on the goal concept. Like, if we're defining a goal as something I really is important to me to do or get or whatever, I'm going to do it or get it.
Yeah.
If it's just something that I would like, there's too many things. I'm like, oh, then I have a goal to be super rich. But obstacle is that I don't care enough to do the things that might take to do that.
Something you like the idea of. Like, yeah, exactly. I'm a novelist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. But are you? I mean, you like the idea
of... Well, I'd like to be, so it's a goal, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So, I guess the answer for us is no in both of our cases.
Well, maybe the point here is that I think we both... Neither one of us spend a lot of time... thinking about what it would quote unquote be nice to be.
Yeah.
And rather we try to figure out what actually is and then just sort of live up to that.
I do not want to come off as smug or even worse, successful.
Well, right.
Because me neither. Here's the thing. I have a goal to be more physically active. I have a goal to eat better. I have a goal to clean my house. I have a goal to write my book. I have those kind of... I would say these are goals.
Mm-hmm.
I am sucking at all of these. but I still feel like I am pursuing them.
Yeah, right.
Like, just because I'm bad at it. And in that case, what are the obstacles? The obstacles are laziness on my part. I like to not do things. it's more enjoyable. And just my own personal motivation is the only obstacle there.
Yeah.
But again, I feel like I'm pursuing them. I'm doing a bad job, but I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I'm like, I always wanted to do that. I'm just not doing it at all. So.
And that's another thing that, I mean, when I tend to want to do something, I just do it. You know, I realize there's a
Shia LaBeouf.
Well, I'm just saying it seems like. There's this cultural thing where a person, again, they like the idea of doing the thing. So to motivate them, they make a New Year's resolution, or they write the goal down, or they go through the process of planning how the goal would work. Maybe get it down to small incremental things that will motivate them. Because, I just have to do that today. Well, I'll just do that. And then after several days, they're closer to their goal than they thought. That kind of thing. But... for me, I either want to do it or I don't want to do it. And if I want to do it, I'll do it. And if I don't want to do it, I won't. It's just, somehow, it's just always been that simple for me. But I noticed that for other people, at least when they talk about it, it sounds more complicated. And maybe it isn't more complicated. It just sounds like it is. I don't know. I don't, sometimes, as you know, I'm usually baffled by how other people talk about things and do things.
Use their human words. and there is a trap you can get into of, I can do this, I am doing this, I want to do this. This other thing I can't do, or this other thing I say I want to do, but I'm not doing. It must mean I don't actually want to.
Yeah, because that's not always true.
No.
That's not always true.
It's, I mean, things are priority.
Yeah, yeah.
All things are priority. Except when you are unable to set your own priority, which is, I have to go to work, I have to pay the bills, right. I have to take care of my children.
Right, right.
And I have a job, I do go do that, and I'm required to do that, or they'll fire me. But, you know, I have free time, I have disposable income, I'm only responsible for cats. So, in my case, there are very little external forces impacting.
Right.
All right, draw a thing.
Didn't I draw the last? Oh, you drew the last one?
I drew the last one.
Where's the hat?
You drew...
Did you put the hat down over there?
Oh.
Well, you're going to have to
hang. You drew one about video games on an island.
Oh, it's underneath you there.
And I did one about goals. I'm starting to think you're lying.
No. Isn't that the hat? Sometimes it's hard.
Weird thing to say.
Well, it ends up underneath your chair sometimes, and I don't know.
Just put it on my head, but then all the cards will fall
out. If that's
out.
The hat peeking out, or if that's something else. All right.
That sounded weird. That's not a hat.
Oh, this is an interesting question by nobody in particular. Have you ever secretly written to the hat?
Ooh.
I have not. Because you know what? I've often had questions that I have for you particularly.
Yeah, yeah.
That I would like to discuss and give you my answer to that question. So I just talk about it when I come here.
Yeah,
so why would
we
have to secretly write to the
hat?
Well,
but I think in the early days we didn't necessarily do that. I think we were a little more hidebound, and so we wouldn't be comfortable with that.
Oh.
But, and sometimes you don't necessarily want people to know it's coming from you, you know? This all sounds like a lead up of me saying that I have. I have, in fact, not done it. But I will say this. I have had the urge a few times. I've thought about it a few times.
Really?
And I know I have definitely encouraged other people to, because people would come to me and ask stuff frequently in response to something in an episode, and I'm like, I'm not going to write the hat. Right
now. The producer has written the hat.
The producer has written the hat. I suspect the producer has written the hat more than we're aware of.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know that for sure. And I don't remember a specific instance, but I feel like this was true. I think there may have at least been one time where I wanted a question written, and I convinced someone else to write it.
Wow.
But I can't remember a specific instance, so I may be making that up.
Now, to be fair...
it was unusual for us.
Well, there's nothing that says we can't write the hat.
No, absolutely not. And honestly, if anybody breaks the unspoken hat rules, the hat has all the power. So if we wrote the hat and the hat's like, fuck you,
yeah, then
that would just never come out of the hat.
They would just never come out of the hat. But to my knowledge, I mean, I've never written the hat, but it's only because why would I do that? I can just come here and talk to you about it. But if I had an inclination to write the hat, I imagine I would just do so. Because like you said, I mean, if the hat doesn't allow it, it won't allow it. And that's all there is to it.
Yeah, mostly I think if for some reason you want to be passive-aggressive about something without being obvious that you were being passive-aggressive about it, that would be the way to do it.
Do you think passive-aggressive is my thing? Is that something I do?
Well, not so far. That's why you haven't written.
Well, as far as you...
You're like, I don't know why anybody... I'm like, this is why.
Oh, this is why.
You do it. If it were like... Like, I want to talk about how William stinks, but I'm too shy to tell William that. I will write the hat and be like, dear hatlings, do you notice that William stinks real
bad? Okay, I get, in general, this is a reason someone do. But I'm seriously asking if I would do, I would do that.
Nobody's telling you should.
Okay.
I
can't think of any reason why I would do it.
If there was something you wanted to talk about and you were concerned that you would not remember, and this is a key one, and I this may rule you out actually, but it was something you very specifically wanted to talk about on the show, Because there is plenty of shit you ask me about just during the week that we talk about in email.
Yeah, but I could say, hey, I want to talk about this on the show. Try to remind me.
Yeah, like, but we could both forget. So if, like, you really wanted to and you wanted to make sure. But, of course, because they're drawn at random.
Yeah, you never know when it can happen.
From now or, yeah.
I would probably also sign it. Like, oh, this is from me.
And then you'd be like, I assume it's a different William. And you'd be like, no, it's from me. I'm like, because, you know, it's death to write your own hat. You'd be like, no, it's fine.
We were just talking about how there's no rule that says I can't do
this.
Yeah,
it's not, but this is a fantasy situation. So in this version, you die.
Well, then I won't do it.
I have a goal.
Yeah, my goal is to live as long as possible.
The thing keeping me from it is you don't write the hat, and you writing the hat will not kill you.
Oh.
Those are my obstacles. It's clear I have not thought this problem through.
It's pretty insurmountable.
I want him dead. Why isn't he dead? Because, first of all, I'd have to change the rules that govern this weird interdimensional hat. And second of all, then I'd have to get him to ride it. Dude, I've got a knife right here. Do you remember that bit from, was it the first Austin Powers movie?
Yeah.
Where his son is like, he's like, no, we're going to put him in an elaborate trap. He's like, we could go kill him now. I've got a gun in my dresser. I'll go get it. We could do it together. No, it has to be a complicated plan.
Have you ever secretly written to that? Why does this person assume it'd have to be a secret? Oh, it's like you kept saying...
Well, we clearly have never openly written to that, or it would have come out and been like, hey.
Okay, well.
This is from Coffee.
Okay.
Define personal strength.
Define it?
Yeah. I don't have a dictionary here, so...
Define it. Personal, guess means originating from you, the person, right?
Or just existing within your own individual frame of reference.
Okay.
I mean, like, a personal pizza. Does not originate. There's this YouTube show that I watch sometimes. It's actually on BuzzFeed, but it's called Worth It. Okay. I think I've talked about this before, where the guys go, they pick some sort of food generally, and they go to three different really good restaurants for it of three varying price points. And then they discuss which one was the most worth it. So they go to, like, some really cheap, good place, and then they go to a moderately priced place, and then they go to, like, a really expensive one.
Are these the ones that sometimes let the camera guy eat it, too?
Oh, yeah, no, he always gets a little bit of a bite, yeah. But it'll be crazy ones, so it's like donuts, and we go to this place, they have dollar donuts, and they're really good. And then there's this restaurant that has this weird donut that they do, and then there's the gold donut that costs $100.
I saw that one.
So, actually, this is a random chance, but I think it was in the donut one. And they were talking about where they come from and the name, and it's a Dutch name, but it translates literally to oily cakes.
Mm.
And the guy in the car is like, I love when words for things are just the thing. And the other guy's like, yeah, like manslaughter.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's a good one. He just says it, and he's not even making a joke. He's just saying it, and the other guy's just sort of like looking. And I'm like, no, he's right. That's a really good one.
That is a good one.
But it's hilarious. So that's the same thing here.
Don't remember that from that episode.
Like, you know, funny. Personal means it's originating from in you. So, like, personal pizza.
And strength.
Well, see, and that's...
Is that the tricky one?
I think so.
Okay.
Because strength is... Well, this isn't even just, like, how I define it. I define strength, like, a billion different ways. But, I mean, okay, if we really want to break it down here, personal strength, for me, probably gets defined as my ability to independently exert my will despite obstacles, internal or external.
Okay, so the strength of your personality, maybe?
Well, not even necessarily. It could be the strength of my muscles, if my will is to move that thing.
Okay.
And the things against it are the fact that I am weak and sad, and it is large and heavy. Or that some other fucking dudes are pushing from the other side. You know, and a measure of my personal strength there would be how well I can move. And if I can't, I did not have enough personal strength for it. And if I could, then I did. But yeah, it could also mean my personal force of will of I'm not going to drink tonight when I go out with friends. And the party atmosphere or latent alcoholism or a bar bet, I don't know, results in me drinking. It was a failure of personal strength. But I mean, I don't think I'm putting anything into that. I feel like that's a dictionary definition.
I don't know. I think one way to look at it is a person's ability to overcome adversity, however you continue to define what that means.
I think that can be encapsulated within the definition.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's right. It's more specific,
though. Yeah. And I absolutely agree with it.
I mean, whenever I hear someone talk about personal strength, that's what I think about. Not just like what they can bench press or like the definition you gave, which is very broad in general.
Yeah.
Specifically, a person's ability to overcome adversity. I don't know. I suppose one of the difficulties in defining terminology like that is you almost can't do it without logically implying a certain definition of, you know, personal weakness.
Yeah.
Or whatever, so. And, I don't know, maybe a person would resist that kind of definition because, you know, there might be stigma so attached
might
to.
You say that it's a test of your personal strength to try and accept?
Probably.
That?
What I mean, you know, let's say a person experiences adversity and, you know, they
experiences adversity and
they struggle with it quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
So we just said it. Good.
Yeah.
You know, you
any joke you have to explain.
You don't want to. you don't want to say that person is weak, right? I mean,
well, there's a lot laden in that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like a judgment or you're trying to lay a stigma on that person.
You want to say you had an acceptable amount of personal strength. In strict pragmatic values here, it was not enough. But yeah. That is in no way to imply that someone else might have been more successful, not least of which is me.
Yeah.
That is now word for word what I'm going to say to anyone who ever tells me a story of failing at anything. I'm going to say that exactly like that in that intonation. I should write that down.
Mm. So yeah, I don't know. Personal
stuff. Well, it's, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of value judgments get in there. And yeah. And here's the, and I try. Like, think about who do you think of? Do you have anybody that you admire for their personal strength? I'm pretty sure I do not.
That I admire for that particular reason?
Yeah, that you admire the tremendous personal strength they have. It doesn't have to be the only reason.
Well, I mean, I can think of people who I know certain things they've gone through where, and I mean, all I can only respond to that from my own frame of reference, right? And
which would be good, because I'm asking you if you...
No, what I'm saying is, I draw a comparison there, which is probably ridiculous, because who can compare two people's life experiences? But I almost can't help it that they've been through so many things that I feel like if I'd gone through even half of that, I probably would have blown my brains out.
Yeah, I still feel like, I mean, I guess in that sense there, but in that sense, I feel like personal strength is too broad a term. It would be much more specific to whatever it was, like, kept your cool when you were being harassed all that time, or didn't lose hope when you had zero money.
Well, this is what I'm saying, though, with the people I'm thinking of, there's, like, almost a cumulative thing, right? Like, well, this happened, and that by itself, I can say, wow, you got through that, that's amazing. But then, like, right on the heels of it, something else happened, and, like, there's this whole life full of these things. It's like, wow, how do you just keep going? You know, after one of those things, I probably would have been ruined. But then after, like, the 10th one, I probably would have thought God had it out for me, and I would have
So we admire Tig Notaro for her personal strength.
I don't know. Who's that?
Seriously, how do you know this? Tig Notaro is a comedian who, in the space of 1 year, went through a major breakup, had her mother die suddenly.
Mm.
I may be getting the order of these mixed up. Got C. diff. I don't know if you're familiar with that condition.
No.
But it's an infection that basically your intestines start eating themselves. It is almost, it is frequently fatal.
Mm.
And it, like, shuts down your ability to take in food and stuff like that.
Wow.
And then got breast cancer.
Jeez.
And the breast cancer was the last one. And the day she got the results that she definitely had breast cancer, she had to perform that night. And she did, but she did not do any of her prep material. She went out there and said, I just found out I have cancer. And then did an hour all about this that is... I mean, it's surprisingly still funny, but it's heart-wrenching. It's amazing. It's an album. The album is called Live, and that's not because of the life or death nature here. It's apparently she's always wanted to name an album that because it looks like it says Tig Notaro Live.
Yeah.
But it's Tig Notaro Live, and so she thinks that's hilarious, which she's not wrong. But yeah, she has gone through.
Okay, yeah. See, that a story like that, it's like, that's. Personal
strength.
Yeah, I can admire someone for getting through that stuff and being able to share that experience with other people.
You
and
should really check out Tig. I think you would like
her. I've never heard.
I feel like her humor would hit you just about right. And I've got stuff I can lend you. Well, and actually, I'm pretty sure you can find something on Netflix. But. There's nobody else named Tig. In fact, I remember much, much younger. Like, I had forgotten it was the same person for a while. But years ago, I'm in, like, a hotel or something because I don't have cable. And they have cable, and they have the little Comedy Central half-hour specials.
Mm.
And they had one for this comedian just named Tig.
Mm.
And that was her.
Mm.
But back then, she just called herself Tig because who the hell else was named Tig? Yeah, so. How we define... personal strength is that which makes you akin to Tig Notaro. So then later, she does another special, and we watch it. And in the special, she's talking about this stuff. And she talks about the fact that she had a double mastectomy.
Mm.
And then, I forget why, but she jokingly got around to, like, you know, I'm not going to, like, take my shirt off or whatever. And people are like, woo! She's like, you want me to do that? Really? And then she did it. And she took off her shirt. Mm. And you could see she didn't have no boobs.
Mm.
And that was, you know, kind of inspiring in a way, and it was kind of funny. Here's the thing. She just kept it off for the rest of the special, which was like 20 more minutes.
Mm.
And it absolutely made me uncomfortable. But I was like, why is... I'm like, it's not the mastectomy. I was like, no, I feel like it's just distracting. I feel like if a dude took his shirt off 20 minutes before the end... It would feel, and I think there's also something specific about that. If somebody just came up on stage with no shirt, it would be different to me.
Mm.
But it's like the change. And I mean, certainly, if a woman who still had breasts took off her shirt for the last 20 minutes, I would be distracted from the comedy. Also, because I mean, I can think of other times. Because like Nick Offerman did it at the start of American Ham for like 2 minutes or whatever, and that was funny and it was part of a joke and everything like that. But because that's the thing, I'm like, I don't. This is me desperately not wanting to be uncomfortable because of the mastectomy scars. And right, I'm still right. Like, I mean, it could be rationalizing. But I'm like, I don't think so. I think it's just, I feel weird that somebody's topless, anybody, for 20 minutes when they weren't before, trying to listen to their jokes.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Did you draw that or did I draw that?
I don't remember what the question was.
Define personal strength. I drew it.
Yes, you did.
Yes. So.
So should I draw one now?
I know, because I looked at it, and it said define personal strength, and it was three words, and it made me think of three words. ghost making noises.
Am I drawing one?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
Your hand's in the hat, and it's rooting
around.
Well,
yeah, but so maybe you want me to stop.
I do, but we can't. I was conscious.
So.
I have a goal.
Not signed. Will DC ever make another good movie? Did they make a first good movie?
This is a good question. Since we're saying DC,
yeah,
we can encompass a lot of things.
So
we've got all the Nolan Batmans. I mean,
Batmans. Yeah, okay, yeah, I guess they were.
And we have all the Christopher Reeve Supermans.
Yeah, the first one was pretty good.
Although,
you know, it's kind of, I mean, if you go far enough back, it starts to feel like it's hard to compare, because a lot of the earlier, like the Christopher Reeve Superman and the Tim Burton Batmans really kind of belong to the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they really hold up.
Well, and
I mean, I love them, but yeah, I can understand why someone growing up today would be like, well, this isn't that good.
Because like anything pre the first Iron Man from Marvel was crap. I mean, yeah. The best of the lot pre Iron Man was probably Daredevil.
Well, X-Men was.
Oh, okay. But before, if you go back to like the old Spider-Man ones,
yeah.
Or the old, like the 94 Fantastic Four, shit like that, like Marvel really sucked back then.
I mean, I think. I don't know what's going on with DC. I think as long as...
I still have hope for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I do too. I think as long as Zack Snyder has a hand in it, it's always going to not be good. Period. End of story.
We got to explain Zack Snyder to somebody the other night.
But I think he's really dragging it down, which just really surprises me that Warner Brothers can't figure this out. Like, can't you see...
What do you mean they can't figure this out? They know he's making movies that are making them all of the money.
Yeah, but they surely don't. I mean, you know.
I don't know. Until we stop buying tickets.
Right, but.
It's not going to matter.
But when they expect a movie to hit a billion and it doesn't, that's got to bother them a little bit. You know, like, well, yeah, we're making all this money, but we could be making even more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I have seen any evidence or believe that any of these did not meet their financial expectations.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I honestly don't know, but I hadn't heard anything to that effect. And it still made, what, I want to say...
800, like almost 900. Almost 900.
and I mean, and he's got a proven financial track record with certain things.
I guess.
I guess.
But I mean,
was
you
Watchmen successful financially?
I don't remember that.
I mean,
for sure.
Here's the problem. I saw Watchmen when it was... Justin, like, was new in the theater, and then everything is just a blank whiteness until, like, a year later, so I don't remember. Oh, God, I still hate
it. I'm sure that DC will eventually, I mean, like I said, Wonder Woman might be great, and that will be fine. I don't have a lot of faith in Justice League, so it's
I definitely don't. Wonder Woman's the only one I'm going to see.
Yeah, Wonder Woman will come out, and let's hope it's great, but then all the other DC films won't be, so... It probably won't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people say, oh, this is going to save the DCEU. Why do you think that? Because Snyder's still making Justice League, and everything I've seen, every preview...
Aquaman's looking kind of...
Well, I mean, that's a good concept. That's a good character design concept.
But we haven't seen enough to know for sure.
Yeah, like, there are some people that talk about how Suicide Squad had some very good character design concepts, and I agree with that, but the execution was still awful, so...
But that's the thing. Man of Steel makes plenty of money. I don't think it was amazing, but it made enough.
It did all right.
Batman v Superman, ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide Squad, ton of money.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Even though money everybody
panned it and stuff,
said they both suck. So, one of three things happens, or really, probably two of three things happens. They keep making them and they get better. And that's the least likely one.
Yeah, that's the least likely one. That is the least likely one.
Or they don't get better, and people keep going to them anyway. in which case there's no need for them to make them better.
That's right.
Or people start being once bitten, twice shy about it and saying, huh. And usually it's not even a, that sucked, I'm not going to this next one. Like, for me, in similar circumstances, it's more a matter of, oh yeah, the third one's out, I'll see it sometime, and then I just never do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what happened with The Matrix for me. Matrix, awesome. Matrix Fully Loaded, pretty bad. And then Matrix Evolutions, I'm like, we'll wait and see. Oh, what? It's bad like the second? Okay, well, I'll see it a bit. I've never seen it. I've never seen that movie.
Yeah, and I don't think you're really missing anything.
Exactly. I eventually read, because I was like, oh, I do want to know how they end the story. So I go to Wikipedia, read how they ended the story. Great, now I know. Whatever. Move on.
It's not interesting.
Yeah. And it's still full of holes.
Now, it is possible that, like, recently, the slate of DC movies coming up kind of got shuffled around.
Yeah.
So it seemed like, well, maybe they're going to try to take a little bit different direction. You know, the Flash movie that was going to be out, I think, next year is not now because they lost their director. And all this stuff happened. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck even sounded a little like, not only is he not directing the standalone Batman film like he mm-hmm. said he was going to do, but it started to seem like he was getting so tired of the whole Batman thing that after Justice League, he wouldn't even do Batman anymore. Yeah. So I think some stuff got sort of switched around over there. And so maybe if Wonder Woman is successful and a lot of these other projects haven't even started yet, someone will say, well, let's stop having Zach do everything. Wonder Woman was good, and it was the one thing that Zach had only the lightest touch on. So maybe that tells us something. Or let's let Zach continue with these properties, but let someone else have the Green Lantern Corps. Let's let somebody else have this, and maybe add their little special touch to it. And even if it kind of deviates from the tone of what Snyder's doing, maybe it'll still be really popular, and people won't mind that.
You know what I'm really hoping for Green Lantern?
What?
Well, despite a lot of people, I actually kind of like the whole emotional spectrum.
No, thing. I do too. I like it too.
And so I'm hoping they do that. And then, in a great bit of cross-promotion and synergy, the main villain could be Rainbow Bright. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be just great. Watch that. Let's have that.
Absolutely. We'll get that girl who was Honey Boo Boo. We'll get her to be... Let's get Zach on the phone. We'll make this happen. All right. Let's just wrap this up.
Okay.
Because we don't like doing it anyway. I guess keep listening to those other guys next week. And if you're ever in the Evil Universe, feel free to stop by. We won't open the door. We'll probably throw things. But, I mean, feel free to come by and be a target.
Sure.
So... We enjoy that. And we hate enjoying things. So then, we're angry.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.